Welcome to the podcast for the sisters and bros. It will make you laugh from your head to your toes. Talking about their lives, from the highs to the lows. And the name of the title goes, The Sloppy Joes.
Welcome everybody to the Sloppy Joes podcast. Happy Friday, one of all. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yes, I'm good.
What's your name?
I'm Joe. Oh yeah, for what to say? I'm Joe McGrath.
Joe Smith.
And in the corner there, Ethan James.
Joe. Hello, okay, up here. Hello.
You looking good?
Oh, am I?
You had a new coat on today.
Yes.
Yes.
I did new have a pants new coat.
It's very hard to find a coat that matches kind of smart but effectively waterproof. But I feel with this one, I've achieved just that.
Good for you. Now, welcome. This is the first time we're recording in what is, and I'm sure we've done this in the past as a top three, the greatest month of the year. Hello, May.
I thought you were going to say in a post-Orban world.
What do you mean?
Well, he lost the Hungarian election, didn't he?
Oh, no.
But no,
no, it's got to do with that. It's got to do with...
Sorry.
It's got to do with the football being fantastic.
Football's fantastic.
All the finals, the playoffs, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Back end of the season, who's going to win the Premier League? Brilliant. Champions League, etc.
Yeah.
Eurovision? Hello. Two bank holidays.
Yes, please.
For people who can...
Not for us.
But two bank holidays.
Yeah, great.
And I have some birthdays in the middle as well of friends that I quite like.
Oh, you probably... Yeah, people... Yeah. And also, the weather.
The weather picks up. I've got a 30th, 40th and 50th in May.
I know you're aging past your years, but you're surely not going
that
quick.
It's a very quick Benjamin Button, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, wait, not your own.
Not my own, no. Okay. Just from friends and family.
So, isn't it? So 30th, is that a close friend?
Close friend.
40th?
40th, not so much, but one of the Wingfest extended family.
Love that. And then 50th?
You might know him or you might see him online. He's my former boss. He's known as Matty White. He's 50 on Friday. We're going out today.
He's 49.
Yeah. What do you mean? Were you thinking he's older?
No, I thought he was like our age.
Sure. I mean,
I guess he's got some greys in his beard, hasn't he? But maybe he thought he was like 39, 40.
No, we're heading for some tapas and going out boozing.
Half fun.
Yeah. What's the half bit?
Why are you going for tapas? Someone?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. It's the only place to go for tapas in Manchester.
Well, there's some other ones.
No, there isn't. El Gato, don't touch it.
I'm not too... what's the one in Ancoats, which isn't too bad? I send Ethan sometimes.
Le Canto or something.
Canto's not bad.
Okay.
So Matty White's 50. You might see him, he does like videos about like Manchester Finest and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. He was my first boss.
Was he?
Yeah, XS. My first boss, great boss.
Oh, yeah, is he?
He just used to, you know, put it in the wall a bit.
What's that mean?
He's got a bit crazy.
A bit wild.
Yeah, he's a bit wild.
Oh, that's nice.
Are you excited?
I've met him.
You've met him?
Yeah.
When was the first time you met him? Can you remember that? Can you remember those early years?
I remember meeting him at, what's the bar near Stockport Station?
What? Basque?
Yeah. And
yes.
And his kids were there.
Oh, were they? Oh, yeah. Why did we go to that a day?
I don't remember. It was like the opening thing of that where it was... Clint Boone's.
Yes, it was an opening event, wasn't it? Yeah. Because we had a pre-COVID relationship, us lot. I remember that time you used to come into XS now and again.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time we did a phone-in? Apparently we were going out over the songs.
Yeah, we were live by accident, weren't we?
Jay said he could hear us when he was driving home.
Because
I pressed the wrong button.
We were getting set up for the show after, and there's no one in the studio, but somehow that studio could still be live if you just pressed the wrong slider.
Yeah, someone pre-recorded it.
And we accidentally went live just messing about trying to work out like where we were going to sit and stuff over one of the songs.
Good job we didn't slag anyone off.
I know, or swear or...
Should we get into what is hopefully a good few days for everyone? We're coming off the back of bank holiday, but did you work on Monday?
Worked on Monday, yeah. But I don't mind it after United beat Liverpool.
Exactly, so that'd be great.
It's a little bit of momentum for everyone. What have you been up to?
Should we get into Breaking Joes?
Yeah, let's get into Breaking Joes. Let's hit the jingle.
I need to make some new jingles soon, don't I?
Yeah, I think that'd be a nice little remake.
We've got a budget for hiring like a brass band.
How big?
How big, Ethan?
Are
you trying to join one?
Sorry, I was...
just warming up his cheeks for his trombone.
Fixing some wires there, so I was caught off guard. Why don't you get a dozen?
A 12-piece brass band? I was thinking full 64-piece sort of National Symphony Orchestra.
That would cost a fortune.
Yeah.
Thinking how much the tickets are to the Co-op Live. By the way, have we spoken about that? Lord of the Rings coming to the Co-op Live. Mm. What? Mm. Do you know, because you're going all the way to Glasgow?
Well, the options were London or Scotland.
Yeah. But they are doing the full Lord of the Rings now in Manchester at the Co-op Live, arguably the best arena in Europe.
What? When?
Sooner than you think. Are you taking the piss?
I don't think I knew about this.
They are doing whatever you're going to Glasgow to watch at the Co-op. It was announced about a week
ago.
Which
is what, 30 minutes from my house?
30 minutes from your house.
And we're going up and making a weekend of it. But we're going up and making a weekend of it!
Yeah, Glasgow's class.
Glasgow is one of the great cities in the UK.
You could do the double. You could come back and watch it.
Do the double. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, because it's all Fellowship of the Ring at the minute, isn't it? When they move on to Two Towers and when they move on to Return of the King, I will. I'll do them in Manchester.
Yeah, come and watch that.
Me and Lizzie will go and do that.
Yeah, I'll get into Breaking Joe's. I've had a fantastic few days.
Have you?
Yes, I have been working, but I've been juggling a business and pleasure.
Like a young Max Clifford.
Yeah. What? Who's that?
Don't worry.
Did he own the Mirror?
No.
Did he?
Well, I think you're thinking of Maxwell.
Oh, yeah. Something. Oh, should bring that up, should we?
Who is obviously the dad. What's his name? Robert Maxwell.
Oh.
Who is the dad of Ghislaine Maxwell.
But he's also quite famous in his own right, isn't he?
Robert Maxwell?
Yeah.
Yeah, massively, yeah. He owned the Mirror.
He owned the Mirror, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big media mogul.
So on Friday, we went to see Daryl. Daryl's leaving Charlton for a bit. What's up? He's...
Just the way you phrase it. Like, you said it as though, no offence to Daryl, but that Charlton will miss him.
Yeah, they will miss him. They'll miss his presence.
Yeah, and that, like, it's a job. Like, he's going somewhere. He's leaving JD Sports.
No.
What do you mean he's leaving Charlton for a bit?
He's bought his own house.
Wow.
So not for a bit, then permanently.
No, permanently. He's going. He's going. Unless he moves back there one day. Macclesfield. Mm. Yeah, I said that, but we got into a bit of a tiff, to be fair.
Did you actually?
No, not really. Mm. Anyway, so we were saying goodbye to Charlton by doing a few pubs there, you know, one last hurrah.
Oh, yeah.
We tried a new place, but it has such a sort of interesting font. I called it the Creamies, which is the Creameries. Do you
not
know it?
Not that much
it's
better.
It's not that much better.
Nah.
Delicious. But they had on the menu a sort of fruit smoothie that was 9% alcohol, but it was a fruit beer smoothie. 9%
booze. I've seen these where they're literally like, you could eat it with a spoon.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know what I made of it. Becky got a half pint of it. That was like £6.50. You got a full pint of it for like a tenner.
Wow.
We got quite drunk. It was quite
good. So who was there?
Me, Becky, Daryl, a few mates joined us. Carly, who's 30 of it is. We're all saying goodbye to Charlton. We're in this one pub. Daryl has to bring his dog. The dog gets separation anxiety. Don't ask. You should have trained it better. We do say. And he's a Labrador.
Sounds like you're doing a lot of telling Daryl to do things differently.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a part of the night where the Labrador's getting on Daryl's nerves a little bit.
Why? What's he doing?
It just won't stay still. He's a Labrador.
Speaking of, by the way, the reason I was looking on the floor then is because Dusty is on the floor.
Your dog is down there.
Yeah, that's why. Dusty, the dog.
He then decides, instead of just like sort of tying it on his lead to the table, just to let it go. And that can't, there's no worries there, is there? There's no worries there.
That can't possibly go wrong.
Unless the bar we're in has a woman making pizza outside, and that's where we are. Unless the lady screamed when she came out with, so she's got a pizza oven outside, right? She makes the pizza and the dough, she stretches it out, she does all the ingredients inside. She comes up out of the stairs of like what looks like the basement and then puts the dough in the big, great pizza oven. Cooks it, delicious. We all know how pizza works. The dog's face when he saw this lady coming up the stairs and she kind of put her pizzas first.
And at some point, it's like ground level, this pizza, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's coming up from the basement.
Yeah. Practically took her, wiped her out. The screech was crazy.
Knock her down the stairs now?
No, not knock her down the stairs, but one pizza did end up fucking on, like, half over, so then she had to go remake that. So that dog could not be let out.
I mean, what if it had chased the pizzas into the oven? It could have absolutely Hansel and Gretel'd itself.
It could have
dog.
Really done itself.
Imagine that. The dog just jumped into the fire after the pizzas, 400 degrees Celsius. Gone. In 35 seconds? Let's be honest, 90 seconds. We'd have a taste.
We don't.
Delicious. You know what I mean? It's just got a bit of charring around the snout.
Speaking of delicious food, the highlight of my weekend was a festival called Field to Fork.
Nah.
Why?
It's going to be a fuck off from me, I'm afraid.
Why?
Field to Fork. Actually. I mean, also, what happened to Farm to Table? Didn't we already agree
on some
this?
People have already got that name secure.
That's not copyrighted. Farm
it
to
must
table.
Be. Or
like
Field to Fork.
For Goalpost is copyrighted.
I think Field to Fork's in the same bracket as Farm to Table.
Yeah, I'm saying it's superfluous.
You think that's better?
I think
it's on point.
I think Farm to Table was established earlier. I've already gotten over how gross and sort of wanky it is. Field to Fork is new to me, and I don't like it.
Okay, well, you will like
and
it.
And I am someone that is accused of being a bit of a wanker myself at times. So for me to say it, Ethan, Field to Fork
it's not
is very,
that bad.
It's twee, isn't it?
I didn't even realise it was a play on the original kind of phrase. And I must say, now I just hate it so much.
Yeah, but that phrase has been done. Can we not all see that? He can't call the festival Farm to Table, because somewhere clearly has already done that.
Mm.
Anyway, great.
Sod to gob? It's a starting point.
Grass to...
See? Is
help
it
me out,
done,
help me
it?
Out, help me out.
Grass to pass.
It's not bad.
Trough to scoff.
There we go! No, that's the best one yet.
No, it's not the best one yet.
What's yours?
We had gob to slop. We had fucking steaks and all that. That was yours.
Trough to scoff.
Field to fork, not bad.
I don't like the idea of stabbing a fork into a live cow.
And I also like the idea that the steak would be so buttery, you just need a spoon for it.
Have you ever eaten a steak with a spoon?
No, never. So we had... Field to Fork was a festival where there was two live cooking stages.
Where is this?
It's in Marple. It's in Marple.
Of course it is. What day?
What?
What day?
This weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And it was dogs only.
I cycled.
And it was dogs, not dogs only. And you could have brought your dogs. I don't know why you didn't come.
Dogs only. Dogs only. It's the world's first dogs only festival.
Mad. Especially when James Martin was one of the headliners.
Have you seen a miniature schnauzer cook a Scotch egg? You have now.
Nuts.
Imagine that. Quiche Lorraine by a Dachshund.
I don't know what was going on about that. You could bring your dog, so I thought you could have brought Dusty.
I didn't know it was on.
What? I talked about it loads online.
When?
Online.
Online.
Just online, plugging it online.
What? So before the event, were you talking about this online?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't follow you.
Anyway. Yeah, you do.
Anyway, I do.
So you got two main chefs of the headliners. Adam Byatt, who you would know, two Michelin stars, by the way.
Really?
Don't know what that means, but
where's he collected these bad boys?
In his own restaurant.
No, I know that.
On the street.
Do you know the name of the restaurant, I'm asking?
Yeah. Byatt's Place.
It's not called Byatt's Place.
And James Martin, who I'd like to call the people's champion.
He is one of the people's champions, isn't he?
Here's what I'd say. If Adam Byatt was a band, he'd be Radiohead.
Okay. He's interesting. The people that love him think he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
But the mainstream appeal isn't quite there.
Martin.
But he's still a big name. Oh.
Just swap James Martin
Coldplay
for Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the fucking people's
He's
champion.
The Coldplay of TV chefs, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, people want to not like him, but when you actually watch him do what he does,
yeah,
James Martin can't be beat.
Successful. And weirdly, everyone had flashing bands.
Flashing bands.
Yeah. He finished with Fix You while he's cooking a T-bone.
With a really short white T-shirt with short sleeves on it.
Yeah.
Like James Martin.
I've never seen anyone sweat so much in all my life.
What, James Martin?
James Martin.
Really?
No, that's Chris.
Oh, no. You're thinking Lee Evans, I think.
Do you think? No, have you ever seen Chris Martin on stage with Coldplay?
Lee Evans will sweat through a suit, mate.
Chris will make a good run for his money.
He can sweat through a grand piano.
Ask AI who sweats more, Lee or Chris.
Chris Evans?
Oh, true, the Radio 2 guy. Adam Byatt, I love Adam Byatt, I must say.
Can you put his picture on the
He's the
on
chef
the
on the Saturday. He's the chef on the Saturday's headliner. Here's what we'll say. He's on at 2. Gets there for 1.
Professional.
No. You know, let me finish.
Sorry.
Gets there for 1. Does his thing for an hour. He's sort of gone by 3:30.
Okay.
Martin. There from 11 a.m. Gone at 6 p.m. Selfies galore.
Do you know what?
Does a Q&A, does Sunday brunch, does a little everything. He's cooking steaks here, left, right,
Do you know what he is? He's like the Tom Cruise. He's known for that, isn't he? He'll spend 3 hours on a red carpet, Tom Cruise.
Man. Do you know him? Can you see him?
Oh, I know him. Of course, Adam Byatt. Of course, I know him.
Do you actually know him? You're taking the
Yeah,
mate?
No, I know him. He doesn't look like that now. He looks more left.
Click on the run right
to
the left.
He's got a bigger beard now.
Keep going. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I know him.
That's Byatt.
I've watched his YouTube videos occasionally. His voice is borderline predatory, but just stays on the right side. No, it's got a kind of...
Make sure you put the butter in your eggs.
It's a little bit, why are you talking to me like that?
I watched...
Why are you looking down my shirt?
If you do end up going on Adam Byatt's Instagram...
Very good.
Watch one of the top videos where he cooks carrots.
Oh...
Have you seen the carrots video?
They are whole. They are, I mean, glazed beyond belief.
He does say, if you put this much butter and salt and sugar into anything, it'll taste nice.
Yeah. He basically poaches them in butter, doesn't he?
Yeah, he poaches them in butter, chicken stock, sugar, and salt. They are phenomenal.
And they look incredible as well. They stay whole. They stay long.
Unbelievable.
They stay.
Yeah. But what was good is as well, you had like cook-alongs and all that. But you also had words with the farmers, and we had a world exclusive interview with the guy who's brought Wagyu to the Northwest.
Everyone's been trying to get him, Ethan. Honestly, he's had Piers Morgan. Parky was going to come out of retirement to get him.
He's dead. Michael Parkinson. He's dead.
Well, he was going to come out of the ultimate retirement.
This is a sidebar, but the very famous interview, Michael Parkinson's son, has a podcast where he allows AI...
Parkinson's son?
Parkinson's son has a podcast where he uses AI to generate his dad's voice and ask celebrities questions. How weird is that?
That's really, really worrying.
That's not
sad.
Even like, yeah, got some good names on it.
He's got the AI generated
Joanna
voice
Lumley did it, I think.
Of Joanna Lumley.
Yeah.
What, real Joanna Lumley or AI?
Real Joanna Lumley. But one day when she passes on, and she's got a few more years left, I'm sure, it'll just be AI speaking to AI. Anyway, back to the farmer who brought Wagyu to the Northwest. What? He's weirdly called Bill Murray. How mad's that?
Yeah.
So that drew a crowd.
Did it?
Yeah.
What was it? Was he actually bringing the first Wagyu up the canal?
No.
Move out of the way.
There's science behind it,
Japanese cow coming in.
Question, if you're going to bring Wagyu to the Northwest, talk me through the steps.
What?
Talk me through the steps.
It's a breed of cow, isn't it?
Yeah, talk me through the steps.
So presumably they are either loaned, bought, or kind of bred in Japan. And you have to get them from them.
Mm.
So you maybe have to get a license to breed them from some kind of, is it a government thing? Is there like a collection of farmers in Japan that kind of loan these licenses out? What I will say about Wagyu is I know for a fact that it has been slightly diminished in its quality over the years because it used to be that those Wagyu cows were then fed and reared in a certain way that had this crazy marbling in their meat.
Mm. But you used to get like massages and that, didn't
you?
Yeah,
and that... I don't think all of that treatment has followed the species around the world. So now you can get Wagyu cows that are their meat is much more like a standard cow than it used to be, or what you think of Wagyu about 20 years ago. I watched a YouTube video on this 2 days ago.
Well,
so talk to me. What is the process?
I don't think Wagyu, like Champagne, has got a restriction on its area because he got his Wagyus from America.
American Wagyu.
So there's American Wagyus.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing over there with the steaks in America. He had to ship 3 cows back.
What do you mean, send them back?
No, he had to, from America to Top of Wigan. Mad's that, isn't it? I mean, what do the cows do? They're not on an Emirates, are they? Where do they go?
Are they on a boat?
Must be.
In a plane?
Must be.
Surely they're not taking them surface mail. They're going in a plane, aren't they?
Yeah, but what? In a fishing tank? In a fishing container? Not a tank, but a fishing container.
A shipping container. Well, that would be on a boat then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Because there's three ways in my head.
Go on.
Plane, boat, helicopter.
Like a mountain rescue style, hanging out the bottom of the helicopter all the way to
What
England.
Do you think, Ethan?
I'm trying to imagine it now. Because there can't be, like, a ship container. They'll be rattling round, won't they?
Well, no. Why would they be rattling around?
And they won't be able to breathe.
Well, again,
you can't pierce a ship container.
Can you not?
No, but it's too difficult.
I mean, we have been.
Oh, no. is the rule that you can't pierce a ship container, or is it your belief that it's just too difficult?
I just don't know how it gets penetrated, I suppose.
It's about 4 mil thick metal.
Mm, but how would you go about that? Do you have any tools to do that?
So three cows come back. Again, we still don't know how. I mean, are you going to Google, can you pierce a shipping container?
Oh, apparently it's a drill. I'll just go with the side.
So three cows come back and then he buys semen. Can I say semen on YouTube?
Yeah.
He buys semen.
You don't have to say that.
He buys semen.
Yeah. Not that aggressive though either.
From Japan.
Yeah. Male?
Male semen, yeah. No, what do you mean was the seller male?
No, I mean, does it arrive in the mail?
Oh, right.
Yeah, was he going to collect it?
I don't think they left it in the blue bin. I think it was... Because you know how much...
I've got a recycling bin full of spunky, love.
You don't mind us Googling how much is male Wagyu semen, do you?
Google it. Get it on that computer.
It'd be weird if it's purple, like someone's already Googled it before.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, the rest is history.
Insemination. And we're talking...
Yeah.
But it's three enough, so what can he hope to end up with from three females?
Oh, he's flying now. Not actually flying, but the cows are doing really well. What?
Go on. Sorry, I just didn't expect the unit it would be in for the semen.
Not litres.
No.
Surely not. It's small.
It says Wagyu semen typically costs between $30 and $150 per straw.
Per what?
Per straw. I think you're buying straws of semen. I assume just so you can slurp it up quicker.
No, can you Google what a straw... can you Google how much that actually is in millilitres, please?
Okay, yes.
I think because we can all picture that then, can't we?
We could all learn something from this. I'm imagining as it stands, you know the Nesquik straws with the balls
on
it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm imagining like a boba tea straw, but what happens when you pop the bubbles?
30 to 150 is a big, you know, difference, isn't it?
I know, yeah. It's 5x, man.
You'd feel like that is the price range if we put our semen on sale. 30, I'm probably 75, 150.
I mean, I'll take that as a compliment, but I don't necessarily agree with
it. It's insisting it's in straws.
What's the straw then? Insist it back. Say how many millilitres in a straw.
Okay.
What does it say to that? What do you think? I think it's 10 millilitres in a straw.
I think 100.
100 millilitres in a straw?
16.
Wow. So you're looking at somewhere in the region of a grand per milliliter.
Yeah.
Per 100 mil, sorry.
That's crazy.
So a litre is 10 grand.
Mm, yeah.
Wow.
It's mad. And the steak was, Joe... Phenomenal.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it all that marbled, incredible stuff or not quite?
No, it was. It was delicious, mate.
Was it?
Yeah. So I just had a great time. There was a couple of amazing chefs on cooking all sorts. I got asked to help out in one of the cooking things to cook a tomahawk, which is, don't laugh, which is a tomahawk. It's the cut that you use in a cow, a tomahawk cut. But on the pork, on the pig.
Have you ever tried? Is it the rib? It must be the rib.
Have you tried a tomahawk?
I've never had a tomahawk or a tomahawk or a tomachawk, which I guess is the chicken version.
So the guy was like, see this here, the tomahawk, the normal beef one.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're like 130 quid, aren't they?
But the tomahawk, you can get it for about 25 quid and it's fucking delicious.
Really?
Obviously, you don't get as much marbling within it, but you get a really nice outside fat if you do well. Unbelievable.
Was it good? What did they season it with?
We had, he called it his garden relish.
That is, do you know what that is, don't you? He put some dry porridge in his boxer shorts at the start of the day, and then whatever he sort of saturates them with
he's blended
up with some parsley, some olive oil, bit of garlic, and then that gets put all over the beef.
I could ask him to send me a voice note of what was actually on, because I dipped some sort of... do you know when stock comes a bit funky? No, not funky. Comes a bit like jelly-like.
Yeah.
I dipped a lot of that in it.
Did?
And then it cooked over the flames and it got dead nice.
How did... You haven't actually
cabbage.
Said what were your actual job?
Oh, I was in charge of the main stage, bringing acts off and on.
You're the compere?
Oh, compere. But guess what? Acts run for an hour and a half.
Oh, so you've had nothing
people
to do.
People saw me coming, rowing around. Ooh. I'll sit on this stage, bit of fucking scranny, a bit of there.
Really?
Rolling out of there.
So you're like this sort of Tim Lovejoy on Saturday Kitchen?
Yeah. Asking the right questions.
Hopefully with a little bit more enthusiasm.
Eating the right food. Yes. Although I'm going the Tim Lovejoy way.
What do you mean?
Bald.
Oh, right, yeah. And big oversized glasses. Yeah. And a dead eye.
So apart from that, went to a pub in Stockport and met my old head of year teacher. How mad's that?
How does he do it, Ethan? Honestly, how does he do it? We've not seen each other for like a week, literally 7 days, and he's got seven stories.
Have you ever met your teacher in the wild?
Bumped into, or did you plan this?
No, we just bumped into them. Our old head of year.
No. What was your behaviour like?
I was. See what I did, right? I was a bit of a naughty kid, but would always help out in the Catholic masses we did. So that always pulled me back in a bit. Uh-huh. I'd always read out, and not like that. I'd always read out the hymns.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were supposed to sing them. I'd always read out the prayers.
Yeah.
I'd always do good for the church and all that.
Yeah.
So when I would go over the edge with my behaviour in class,
yeah,
they'd remember I'm a bit of a saint outside of it.
You know for a fact, don't you, Ethan, that the reason he was doing all this extra stuff is because he was getting fed little wafers like when you're training the dog. Every time he hands a Bible, like, he just goes like,
bit of booze.
Wafer.
Yeah, a bit of booze. Fucking hell, it started me off on the wrong path, didn't it?
Literally 600 wafers and 2 litres of wine on a Sunday, this lad. Every time he did anything, just looking up at the priest like a dog when they've sat down. Looking up at it. Bible. Wafer on the tongue.
Did you ever sing hymns?
Yeah, we used to do a little hymn work.
Did you? Do you have any favourites?
Praise him in the morning, etc., etc.
You just made that one up.
Praise him till the sun goes down, you bitch. Loved it.
You bitch.
Yeah, not you.
Right, is it? You sang a hymn or two, didn't you?
We used to call it hymn practice, though.
Yeah.
But then there was no, that's the only time we ever sang hymns, so I don't know what we were supposedly practicing for.
What? We used to do hymn practice, and then it was like, you know...
You had like a hymn festival, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like... Hymn practice for us was like the Eurovision semi-finals.
Yeah,
like,
but what's the final?
Easter, Friday, Good Friday, is it pretty big?
In the church?
Yeah, that's Champions.
So that's the thing.
That's Champions League, and then Christmas is a lot... Is Christmas FA Cup? I don't know. Christmas is like the Premier League.
Is Easter?
It's what everyone wants... No, I don't know, actually. Which one would you say is the Champions League? Christmas or Easter, Ethan?
Well, I suppose like Christmas is more traditional, like the FA Cup, and like maybe it's losing its touch a bit, but kind of means a lot. So I'd give that with Christmas. And
Easter's the Premier League.
Easter? You know what? I'm just going to say Easter's the League Cup, I think.
So what's the Premier League and Champions League in religious festivals?
No, but what do you mean the Premier League? If this is a day off, like a final event, you can't just have a Premier League of it.
Well, maybe your Premier League is your hymn practice.
Yes.
There you go. That's your bread and butter. I love it.
Yeah.
Your dog's trying to nibble my fucking shirt.
I don't think she's trying. I think
get
she's
off.
A pretty good job.
Get off.
You're ready? Offering it to her.
Fuck off.
This is you. Don't say fuck
off. Do you know
off.
What she's doing? We've got some pizza for a Patreon. A good... got me that bit. Good time to plug the Patreon. We're going to do the 9 out of 10 club because Papa John's... Papa John's has brought out a new sourdough range, so head over
to... This is the best, innit? Right, just to let people in, right? Earlier...
No, because this is what's happening.
No, I know, but earlier we were talking about... So when we do the patrons, we do the extra stuff, we do the big specials, we do the sort of medium-y specials, then we do the kind of extra podcast, we do the smaller stuff as well. There's loads of different stuff that we do, different categories and different kind of things take longer to make and edit and all that. So today we need to do a Patreon episode. We've got the features, we're going to do Joe versus Joe, we're going to do 9 out of 10 club, whatever. But like... Every week we sort of say, right, so what are we doing for this one? Okay, yeah, we got it. And somehow every single week, Joe knows about a new food thing that has taken everyone except me and Ethan in the world by storm. And I was just saying today, oh, we've got an extra patron. Have we, you know, what we all got? And you just straight away, Papa John's have released a sourdough range.
Let's try it.
What did you say? What was your
two words?
Two words.
Sourdough.
Sourdough. And then you say... It's driving people wild.
And it's driving this fucking dog wild. So it's here. It smells unbelievable. We're going to film it later on. So
we'll put a little clip in of that now, of us trying that pizza that's right there.
Hey, ooh, it's got some colour to
it. You know what? It looks a bit like a thingy one.
What's your thoughts on the Nduja, Ethan?
I think the Nduja, perhaps the liquid sausage is just a tad overrated.
What?
I think it is. I think it's having its time. and it's near the end of that time.
Right, come round here then, Ethan. What I will say, the distance
between...
Are you
going to hit me?
What was that?
Come round here and grab a slice.
Oh, sorry, I thought you weren't happy with my opinion, so you called me round.
I'm going to spank your bottom.
I'm back on the bike. That's the first
good
thing
for you,
need to
mate.
Know.
What's your plan? Aren't you doing a cycle to Blackpool soon?
Doing the cycle to Blackpool. That's
amazing.
I got the t-shirt that came through.
Whoa, big time.
60 miler. Huh? Which is weird because I feel like with running, we all know what the jumps are.
What do you mean?
Well, couch to 5K. So if you don't do any running and you're a bit unfit, a couch to 5K is a nice starting point. So a 5K is like the kind of minimum achievable run that most people can do with a little bit of work. Or if you've, you know, and then there's the 10K, which is kind of, takes about an hour. So you've got to be pretty fit to run nonstop for an hour. But a lot of people can run a 10K as well. We get that. Then there's the half marathon. Obviously a stepping stone, but that's when you're a proper runner. If you can do a half marathon, you can run. And then obviously there's the marathon, which for years was like the pinnacle of running. If you can do that, you are a better runner, fitter than 99% of people. Now, in the last 15 years, there's all these extra categories like ultra marathons and people doing 200 mile races across the desert and stuff. All that stuff.
Or good if you do it like.
But that's just become like semi-normalised.
My mate James once ran to Liverpool. He said he saw God in the 35th mile, and he means that. He's never been the same. James Wilson. Is that the full name? Yeah. He used to work on the radio with me.
Why did he run to Liverpool?
It was part of one of these ultra marathon things.
Oh, right. Wasn't it like 4 a.m. after a night out?
No. He said he saw God.
Jesus.
Man, I didn't say what he said.
No.
But he did offer him a gel.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that statue of the Beatles on the dock at Liverpool. But in the cycling world, so in the running world, I feel like it's well known. If you someone says to you, oh, bloody hell, I ran half marathon at the weekend, you go, fucking hell, that's good stuff. But if I said to you, oh, I did 35K on the bike... Your brain doesn't even... Is that like
tell you.
Nothing? Is that difficult? How long does it... Like, I don't feel like... And even me, who hasn't done a lot of cycling, but has done a little bit, the first few steps
I'd prefer
it.
You told me how long you were out for.
Well, that's a good point. So I like that.
How long are you out for these days?
So we did a 45-kilometre cycle.
Still not told me how long you're out for.
And it probably took about 2 hours.
Okay. 2 hours is just cycling. That's... But we That's
did,
great.
Yeah, but we did stop at the airport for a swirly sausage.
What?
Have you been to the airport cafe? Pub. No, the cafe. The airport visitor centre at Manchester Airport.
Yeah, near the what's it called? The old Concorde.
Yes. There's a Concorde in the room. Oh, have you been, Ethan?
No, never,
You'd
no.
love it. Do you like Concorde, Ethan?
Oh, I'm impressed by Concorde.
Oh, mate. I'm not joking. It's one of my favourite places in Manchester, this place.
It's brilliant.
It's so good. So you go there, and in the car park already, there's like 3 or 4 different planes. One that's like an old weird one with like engines at the top. One that's this. And then you just see this like closed door in the middle with just a little, just the wheel. All you can see through the door is the wheels and the steps going down.
Yeah.
And then you go in. It's the kind of standard stuff in there. But you can get your coffees, your teas, your slushies. Bit of a pre-made sandwich.
Sausages.
They do a Cumberland sausage that's a circle that fills the whole cob, whatever you call it. But then you go through the door, as you know, full Concorde, indoors.
Indoors.
Wow.
You can see it.
You can
Incredible.
See where the Queen Mother sat.
Incredible, this Concorde.
It's bad luck having a Concorde indoors.
Opening a brolly?
Yeah,
yeah,
like that.
Or
yeah.
Smashing a mirror.
Yeah.
Tell you what they got in there as well. They got a flight simulator. Well, we could all have a go if you want.
I've not seen the flight simulator. Can we go on that?
Yeah, well, we could email.
Can you go anywhere? Can you go anywhere?
You can go anywhere. Yeah, but fucking hell.
Let's
My
email
mate went
them
to
if
New
we
York.
Can.
He was in there for 8 hours.
Not on Concorde, he won't be. Three and a half. If we,
you got there before you landed, Ethan. What was that saying?
Yeah, you got there before you landed.
No, what was the saying?
Jump out at 10,000.
What was the saying, Joe?
You got there before you took off because it's a 5 hour time difference and the flight is under 5 hours.
Wow.
So you could leave England at 10 a.m. and arrive at 9:45.
They should just bring it back.
Wow, it's too noisy apparently.
Too noisy, too expensive.
Mad.
Too expensive. I reckon there'd be more of a market for it now than there was when they got rid of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot more people.
A lot more money.
With that level of money now.
They'll try and bring it. They're going to try and crack it. I think it's just the noise now. Yeah. I mean, I live near Manchester Airport. Apparently, it was fucking bananas. Yeah. It breaks the speed of sound.
Yeah, surely, though.
It's
like,
both.
Surely we're closer now to better in Concorde. Like, why aren't we doing that?
Well, if you look at the speed record for aeroplanes, It's held.
I was looking last night.
Were you actually?
No.
It's held by a plane that was built in the 60s.
What?
The record was broken like every few years from the first ever plane that went like 6 miles an hour or whatever to the 1970s. It's the SR-71 Blackbird is the name of the plane. You'll recognise the shape of it.
Is this different to like fighter jets?
It's not a fighter jet, but it's a military plane, like a kind of fighter jet-ish. But obviously it's very different because it's designed to go fucking 4,000 miles an hour, 3,500 miles an hour, whatever it is.
They built this in the 60s?
It was designed in the 60s. The record was broken in the 70s. And it hasn't been broken since for nearly 50 years.
Mad.
Because...
That's crazy, isn't it?
The same with the Concorde. That was made in the 60s.
I was just going to say, why did we give up after the 60s? Why did we go to the moon?
Yeah. Exactly what I was thinking.
Because I think what...
England was good at football in the 60s.
I don't know.
Well.
I think this is where it gets into a little bit of, like, opinion. I reckon, and this isn't funny or a fun podcast, but I think what happened is the initial thing happens a lot where an invention happens and everyone is just clamoring to increase and improve that invention. And then you get to a point where actually we're struggling to actually make this a lot better now. Like mobile phones have got there.
Do you think people will look back at the iPhone 13 like the 60s?
Maybe. And go, we actually haven't really improved that much since then. We have. Like, the interiors are better. They're more efficient. You can get across the Atlantic with a two-engine jet rather than four and all that. But essentially, plane travel is the same now as it was in the 70s.
Mad that, isn't it?
Yeah. And that happens in a lot of different fields. Anyway.
There's a lot of good plane spotters. Plane spotters at that cafe as well.
So here's the thing, right? I don't ever been on weekdays when it's quiet, Ethan. There's loads of benches outside. There's a little hut. There's all sorts of stuff. We went on a weekend... Over the tannoy.
Yeah.
Well, it's 11 a.m. and we are here. My name is James, and if you want to go on our YouTube stream, you can hear from Alison and Simon. They are going to be doing the live stream on YouTube, and we are going to be talking you through all of the takeoff planes for this morning.
Unbelievable.
This one is the 1104 from Lufthansa. Lufthansa, of course, having to lay off around a quarter of its workforce after downturns. Like, commentating every single plane that takes off. There's about 300 people there. There's a little fun fair. Have you seen that?
No.
Little, not waltzes, like the little cars that go around, mini roller coasters and stuff over in the corner. All sorts going on.
That's brilliant.
It's incredible. We just sat there, sausaged off our heads, and then we cycle back. But honestly, it's so good there. If we can honestly email them and get
I think we could do a little special there.
Just fly. Tell you what I'd like us to try and do. Land a plane at Madeira. Do you know about this?
Madeira?
Do you know Madeira? Is it Portugal, Madeira?
It's where Ronaldo's from.
Oh, there you go. And it's one of the... It was a big kind of holiday destination in the 80s, wasn't it? It's one of the hardest airports to land at in the world.
Really?
Because it's on the side... So it's a big, really cliffy bank and then the airport's like there.
So you wonder why it got chosen as a holiday destination.
I don't know. But I think it's something like 25% of the planes that try and land there have to do a loop round.
What?
It's like ridiculous.
That's mad.
Yeah, because the wind's off the sea, plus the fact that it's a short runway, all sorts. But if we could land a plane in Madeira, that'd be a good little patron video, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can do that. I'd love that.
He'd love that.
He'd
love that.
So I've been doing that, and then I'm going to buy a really expensive bike.
Good for you.
I'm too scared to press the button now.
Sell someone of his rubbish clothes that you spent too much money on.
I can't sell your clothes.
You gotta be polite.
That's true.
I'll do my shorts. How much is that t-shirt? 135 quid.
First of all, it's not a t-shirt, is it?
What is it?
It's a shirt.
Where'd you get it from?
Collar.
Where'd you get it from?
What is it? It's a button down, it's got long sleeves and it's got a collar.
Where'd you get it from?
Internet. I got it from the Hip store in their sale, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I think it was about 75 quid.
Okay.
Which isn't cheap, but it's not.
When we do...
I'll just kick the dog.
Oh. When we do notes for the podcast, we have just little things to keep us going of what we're going to talk about. And I just put bank holiday goings on. And you've put bike.
Yeah.
And Ethan's put the word miserable.
I did spend... I suppose this is, you can debate whether this is miserable or good. I spent about an hour and a half last night researching mountain goats. I was just absolutely bemused by the mountain goat.
The mountain goat.
And what?
Alex Honnold, as some people call him.
What led you to that? Like, why did you go down the mountain goat route?
I saw a quick reel of a mountain goat, and it was saying, you can't believe these bastards, how they just walk along the edge all day, and they should fall off and die all the time. They shouldn't be around anymore. But they just keep doing it. They sleep on the side of a cliff. It's absolutely remarkable.
I feel like you're sleeping on the side of a cliff at times.
Sometimes.
Do you want to tell us any facts about mountain goats?
Honestly, I couldn't remember any. I was more so just watching videos of them falling off and like...
No, you weren't.
And like,
Ethan, that's fucking...
Watching videos of them falling off?
Well, you just get hooked by it sometimes.
No, you don't.
You don't, mate. You're now just watching animals killing themselves.
I used to do that with seals, but no longer. Attenborough did a bit of coverage on that. That one is sad.
How did they die?
But the seals are just clumsy. They get the cliff edge and they just fall off. They're clumsy. But the mountain goats, they're well equipped for this kind of thing, and it's on them if they fall. They've been given the gift of doing it.
They've been given the gift.
Do any survive when they fall?
Oh, it's a big drop, Joe. It's not like a cat.
And can I ask, why are they up there?
You're intrigued now, aren't you?
What are they doing there? Because everyone else went, we're not going there.
Do you know why?
No.
They're like the salt.
Oh, I mean.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's only up the mountain?
Yeah, but it's the best salt at the top of the mountain, so they're told.
What?
There's some goat back in the day would have told them this, and they've just all stuck with it. Just persevered ever since.
It's like that story in Turkey where one sheep decided to go see what was over the edge of... Have you seen that story about the farmer?
Yes.
Google this. This is a mad story. Yeah. I might have said this on the pod.
What story?
The farmer had 1,000 sheep, and one sheep decided to see what was on the other end of the cliff, fell to his death, and all the other sheep just followed. And one day he woke up and all of his sheep were dead.
Everyone dead.
Everyone dead.
Imagine
Google that, Ethan.
It's true.
What do you mean?
I believe it. It's a true story.
No, because it's sad.
Why do you hate Googling?
It's just because after clicking the buttons of vision of it, because I'm type and I'm not very good at multitasking.
It's sad,
imagine
that story,
waking
isn't it?
Up and everything is dead. Because for him as well, that's it.
Sad, isn't it?
I guess he's having to turn as many of them into chops and curries and kebabs as soon as he possibly can.
Could be quick.
Okay, so here we go.
3 days to get through 1,000 sheep.
In July 2005, a remarkable and tragic event occurred in the eastern Turkish province of Van, where roughly 1,500 plunged off a cliff following the herd mentality of their own kind. While shepherds were eating breakfast, one sheep walked over the edge of a 50-foot cliff, and the rest of the flock followed. Approximately 450 of them died, while 1,100 survived.
Oh, it's not as bad this story, then, is it?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. Oh, this is... You're not going to like why they survived. Oh, no.
I mean, I can guess.
Wait. What's your guess?
The guess is that the other dead sheep broke their fall at some point.
As around 1,100 sheep survived, as their fall was cushioned by the bodies of the sheep that fell first, creating a wool crash pad.
Fucking hell.
That's so
awful,
bad.
Isn't it? A wool crash pad.
I mean, also, fence...
Yeah, big fence.
If you've got a 50-foot cliff at the side of your farm, fence.
Yeah, fence.
Isn't it?
Are you?
That's so tragic, though.
It is tragic. This podcast is dedicated to the sheep that lost their lives there.
2005, 21 years to the day.
To the day?
Well, to the year.
Are you looking after yourself, though, Ethan?
Oh, you know how it is.
No, what's up with you?
I'm not moving as much anymore, so I'm probably on a body decline now.
You're not going to the gym anymore and all that?
Oh,
you were dieting, you were gymming.
I was amazing. But now I just probably, in the periods where I'll drink Friday to Sunday and I'll just sit around Monday to Thursday.
Do you still run up and down the stairs in the office?
Used to do that, man, but now I just I'm just addicted to the analytics and just those numbers, man. Yeah, it's...
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Saturday, I got invited to the farm event with
I texted him because I thought he'd be lonely.
He did.
Listen, if you follow me on Instagram, you could have come. Don't give me them eyes. He's a lonely man. Do you know what he dished me for? Watching the final day in the championship.
Yeah.
By yourself?
And then he fell asleep.
Yeah, by myself, went to the Victoria pub. Oh, yeah, and nice. The situation was as such. So I'm next to a, do you call them a plinth? No, a pillar. And on this pillar, to my right, we've got Ipswich versus Queen's Park Rangers.
Three.
To my left of the pillar, we've got Derby County versus Sheffield United.
Three.
And to oh. my behind,
what?
To my
rear,
behind, I've got Wrexham versus Middlesbrough.
Wrexham's behind you?
Yeah.
And so, Hull not even getting a look in?
So, well, the thing is,
Hull.
I absolutely went mad because I'm like bouncing around doing the 360s because I'm in the only possible place in the pub where all the games are on.
Are people also interested or are you just the only one?
I'm the only one who's really interested. There's people who have their dedicated games. There's the corner of Derby fans. We've got a Sheffield United guy over here. We've got an Ipswich man. The Sheffield United guy. Yeah, just, love Sheffield United, me. Like that,
spot,
I guess. Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah. And then at the end, I had three beers to myself. And at the end, I hadn't talked to anyone apart from this one barmaid asking for a drink. And then I asked her to switch the game over. And she says, I can't have all the games on. I've got so many fixed games. I go, it's finished. And then she goes, all right, I'll change it over. And just in my excitement, I'm telling her the context of what's going on and what this means for Hull. And she just like shuts me up immediately. And I just was like, I was really excited. Just like, all right, that's fine. I'm putting it on. But I wasn't like shouting it. I was just like excitedly telling her the scenario.
Like that.
And that was the only person I spoke to on Saturday. So I kind of waddled home a bit upset after that. Kind of not be confident. It shouldn't have not be confident.
It would not my confidence.
Yeah.
If someone did that, shut me down when I was trying to get excited and tell them about something.
Yeah.
I guess she obviously mistook it as you trying to give him more ammunition for why she should
why she put it on. I was just excited
but you were
about
just trying to talk.
It's the last 7 minutes. It's like if Hull hang on now.
Yeah, fucking hell, mate, I get it. Yeah, should have.
Yeah, that was it.
That's devastating.
So it's like, actually a bit of that. I don't know why. It actually shocked me when he said that.
Yeah.
What did she say? And what exactly did she say?
She said, "All right, mate, I'm putting it on."
Oh, I can see it now as well.
And I'm like, oh no, I didn't meet. And she's gone.
I would have wanted to look after him because I knew he'd be by himself.
Yeah. You could have tried
James Martin's butter.
James Martin's genital butter. I thought you said that it was.
No.
Oh, you could have tried Manchester Wagyu.
I could have.
What was it the thing?
I should have. I didn't realise how far away it was. And kind of after that point as well. That little thing of like three beers, a little bit tired now. I had to be confident, it's just a little bit.
What did
bit
you eat that night after the three beers?
I would have had.
No, that noise.
Well,
now I don't know what that noise is leading to.
It's not exciting, Joe. At the pub, I had a couple of packets of peanuts that they had on offer. And then I had
on offer
as well.
What do you mean on offer, Ethan? What pub has peanuts on offer?
No,
what
not
do you mean?
On offer. Right. Discount. Like they're there. They've got the bar.
I thought there was like 20% of peanuts at the bar. I was like, what are you on about?
No, it wasn't like that. And I had a vanilla Huel, a banana, and a Baby Bell, which have been.
It's just so bleak.
Yeah. Do you want to move into mine for a few weeks?
No.
We'll get you back on your feet.
So Saturday night in his 20s, he has got invites, by the way, to do other things.
Yeah.
He chose to do three pints of Guinness, nuts, and a Huel.
Yeah.
That is nuts, isn't it?
I must have had someone during the day. I must have. I can't remember.
You had those discount pints. Nuts, didn't you?
Yeah, and the pints. I would have seen it as the pints is enough calories.
Yeah.
Can I
do a quick Bong FM?
Yeah.
Bong. Sir David Attenborough is 100 this week.
Said his.
What did I say?
You said David Attenborough. I think.
Sir David Attenborough. Did I not say Sir David Attenborough?
I heard.
You all knew what I meant.
Oh, sorry.
Sir David Attenborough, though. He's
I had a bit of a Mandela effect with him. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, well, you thought something else.
Yeah. In my head, he's been 99 for about a decade.
Ooh.
David Attenborough has been 99 for ages, hasn't he?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Like, it's been a thing that he's nearly 100 for so long. And he's finally made it. And he's still with us.
Yeah, well, he's as of recording, he's got 2 days to go.
I thought it was today.
No, it's Friday, the day this comes out.
Oh, I imagine if we got this wrong, because this goes out in early access.
They won't
as well.
Let him die between.
Well, maybe we'll have to have certain.
They won't let him do it. Do you know how they don't? You can't die in Disneyland.
No.
You know about this.
Do you think Sir David Attenborough is in Disneyland right now?
That's a good idea.
I think
if
they put him on the Tower of Terror for long enough.
It's a small world.
It's a small world. No, you can't die in Disneyland.
What do you mean?
You can't die in Disneyland.
Is this like a fairy tale thing?
Or? No, it's not a fairy tale. It's a legal thing. If someone dies in Disneyland, I think there's two options, and I can't remember which one's
true.
I think
you're talking shit.
One, they have a medical site that's just very slightly off-site, which is where they'll declare you dead, that isn't in the park itself. Or I don't know if they've somehow managed to have international waters within the park.
No, surely not.
I think... Yeah, basically, there's like a hospital on site, but it doesn't count as Disneyland because they don't want anyone to have ever died there.
Is this like one of those rumors
world
that no one's ever checked up on if it's real?
What?
This, you can't die in Disneyland.
Google it, Ethan.
Good news, I've Googled it and I found out the truth. And this is how it goes. The Matterhorn bobsleds in 1964, 1984. The first fatality occurred when a 15-year-old stood up on the ride, and in 1984, a 47-year-old woman was decapitated by a bobsled. 1974, the American sings. No. An 18-year-old hostess was crushed between a rotating wall and the
stationary
stage.
He's got a point there, Joe.
2003.
Right, Ethan,
their head,
Google it. Try and find the thing I'm on about.
Ethan brings up a good point. If you get decapitated on a roller coaster, let's just get them off. Site, their heads rolling down the queue.
Right, kick it, into the, kick it to the hospital.
You never know.
Your
fingers crossed they've got a chance.
There's some hot, it's horrifying, some of these. Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin, 2000. A four-year-old boy fell out of a vehicle and was trapped underneath, and then died from his injuries. Christ, the Haunted Mansion in 2025. A guest in her 60s passed away after experiencing a medical emergency. There's some violent crimes in 1981. An 18-year-old was stabbed. A 15-year-old was shot in the parking lot in 1987. It's a grim place.
It's put me off going.
I think when you look at the stats, it's actually safer.
And you're going to send David Attenborough there until Friday.
I didn't say send David Attenborough. Google what I'm on about, Ethan.
It says underneath here, Joe, no one dies, Smith. The rumour is false. Often if a person is mortally injured, they are pronounced dead at a nearby hospital rather than on the park grounds, which fuels the urban legend. Despite these incidents, Disneyland is generally considered safe, with thousands of guests visiting daily without incident. But let's not forget about the other ones that I've mentioned, eh?
That's true.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
Fun stuff, though, eh? Good luck to David Attenborough. Still going strong, still doing his docs.
Happy Friday, yeah. Still
one of the greats.
But you can tell he's pulling back a little bit because obviously in 2006 he had Planet Earth and, you know, he did all sorts and he's travelled the world and things are slowing down a little bit because his new doc is about people's back gardens in the UK.
Oof. But he wasn't in the North Pole doing the polar bears.
Of course he was. He
was in that clear plastic thing, was he?
Yeah, of course he was. Have you not seen that fucking...
No, he wasn't. He's on a green...
He was. Hey. Don't give me that.
You're telling me that little plastic badger that they scurry along through the woodlands of the UK had David Attenborough in it, like Davros, did it?
Yeah, he goes there. And now he's just in the Cotswolds.
Bollocks.
Lovely part of the world.
He's got a studio in his house and has done for a long time. But God bless him.
Right then. Go and join the Patreon. Patreon.com/Sloppy Joe's Podcast. We're going to do Joe versus Joe. And then 9 out of 10 Club Pizza review. Papa John's. Two words for you. Papa John. He's got a sourdough range out. And we're going to try it.
God bless him.
To the patrons. The top sloppers of the world. Yeah?
Yeah.
We're having it. Right. Thank you very much for watching, everyone.
Bye.
Bye,
Ethan.
We'll see you later.